Let us prepare our hearts for the scripture reading through prayer. God, our helper, show us your ways and teach us your paths. By your Holy Spirit, open our minds that we may be led in your truth and taught your will. Then may we be praise you by listening to your word and obeying it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The scripture reading is from Psalms 139, verses 1 through 12, and then verses 23 through 24. Let us listen to the word of God. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me becomes light. Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way to me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 28, and we're reading verses 10 through the first part of verse 19. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring, and your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on the top of it. He called that place Bethel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. There's a Celtic Christian saying that I learned when I was working on my sermon for this week that goes like this. Heaven and earth are only 3 feet apart. But in the thin places, that distance is even smaller. I'll get back to that in a minute. But first, I think our scripture passage for this morning is one of the lesser known stories of Jacob. If it's not lesser known, it's one of the less popular ones. And there are a lot of questions I have right at the outset of this passage if I don't know what came before. So I want to start by backing up just a little bit. In chapter 27 of Genesis, we read about Jacob deceiving Isaac, who is now very old and can't see well and is becoming concerned about dying very soon. Rebekah overhears Isaac call to Jacob's brother Esau, and Isaac tells Esau to go hunting and prepare the food that he likes and bring it to him to eat, and he will bless Esau before he dies. We all know the rest of that story, right? Esau leaves to hunt. Rebekah helps Jacob in deceiving Isaac while Esau is away in order that he receive Isaac's blessing instead of Esau. But just then, after that happens, Esau returns and he prepares the food Isaac had asked for, and they discover what's happened. Both Isaac and Esau are angry, but there's nothing that can be done. The blessing has been given. So Esau begins to plot to kill Jacob once their father dies. Rebekah overhears this, too, and tells Jacob to run away to her brother's house in Haran. And this is where our passage for today picks up. Jacob's on the run. It says, Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. So once he's put as much distance between himself and his brother as he can for the day, Jacob settles down for the night. He rests his head on a stone and falls into a deep, dream-filled sleep. Now, in the Hebrew scriptures, dreams were considered visions and messages from God. So when Jacob dreams of a ladder with angels ascending and descending between heaven and earth, it is interpreted as a sign that this was a thin place, a gateway between heaven and earth. I have to say I'm in agreement with the Celtic Christian saying that I read at the beginning, that heaven and earth are only 3 feet apart. But in the thin places, that distance is even smaller. There are two literal places in particular that come to my mind as thin places I have been. And our special music this morning reminded me of one of them. In eastern Iowa, there's a place called Camp Wyoming. It's a Presbyterian summer camp, and during the summers growing up, it was like my second home. That's where I first learned that song, I Love You, Lord. It was the first place that I can recall as a Bethel, or house of God. In Hebrew, it's Beit El. There's no TH sound in Hebrew. Looking back, I would call it a thin place. It is a place in which, when I am there, where I can say with confidence, the Lord is in this place. Have you ever been to a place like that? Another one is a place in southern France. There's a community called Thésée. Maybe you've heard of it. It's a monastery where an ecumenical brotherhood of monks live and pray together and host young people for retreat from all over the world. Earlier this year, I had the opportunity to travel to Thésée and spend a week with this community. For me, another thin place where the presence of God is tangible. Both of these places are sacred to me. I think these are the only places in the world where I have cried because I didn't want to leave. And both of these places have been, for me, places where I have heard God's reassurances and promises most clearly. Both of these places are thin places, locales where the distance between heaven and earth collapses, and I'm able to catch glimpses of the divine or transcendent. What places have been sacred to you? Think for a moment about these places. Maybe it's on a beach somewhere or on a park bench. Maybe you have a favorite tree that you like to watch change color in the fall, or a vacation spot you return to year after year. Perhaps you catch a glimpse of the divine in your own backyard, or maybe right here in this room. How has the sacred manifested itself in these places? What causes you to exclaim, "This sacred place is awesome"? Jacob was awestruck when he awoke from his dream. It's not likely that this means he thought his dream was awesome, though of course it was. Certainly it was. But rather, he was struck by the immensity and intensity of the deep connection with God that he experienced in this dream. According to the author, God stood beside Jacob and spoke to him. I would be awestruck too. The text also says that Jacob was afraid. Surely this experience was a bit unsettling. I would certainly be a little shaken up by a dream of angels and God speaking to me. Have you ever had one of those experiences? An experience where maybe you were in one of these thin places and heard God so clearly that it scared you? Jacob certainly did, and he acted on this experience. He got up early in the morning, took the stone that he was using for a pillow, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. He marked this thin place as a holy place, calling it a house of God. Where are the houses of God in your life, the Bethels? Where do you go to be in a house of God? What are the awesome, sacred places, the thin places, where the distance between heaven and earth is a little bit smaller? I thought about these questions, and then I got to thinking a little more about this concept. And I wonder if the thin places we experience, I wonder if sometimes they aren't places at all. Could the thin places actually be experiences we have? And other people we encounter. After all, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net that is thrown into a lake that gathers all kinds of fish." The kingdom of heaven is like those who help others different from themselves. The kingdom of heaven is like answering your door at 3 o'clock in the morning to loan your neighbor some flour. The kingdom of heaven is like those who don't hoard things for themselves but are rich towards God. The kingdom of heaven is like servants who wait expectantly for their master to return home. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who paid all of his workers the same wage, regardless of how much work they had done. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who forgave a servant's debt of 10,000 bags of gold. The kingdom of heaven is like a farmer who planted wheat and allowed the weeds to grow with it. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. It doesn't take much to transform the whole ball of dough. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, selling all he owns and buying the one very precious one. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding feast and invited everyone, friends and enemies, rich and poor. As we go into this day and this week, I invite you to pay attention to where the thin places are in your life. Where do you experience, or with whom do you experience, the closeness of heaven and earth? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.